Welcome back. You're with Dave Popowich and Rob Geary. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money. A really interesting couple of segments. I think that'll be quite educational for investors, an area that they probably haven't invested in the past.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Dave. And I, you know, we'll start it off here by saying, you know, here banks make money by, you know, you giving them money, the savings, they give you a little bit of interest, and they lend it back out for more. There's some profit there, right? On the lending side.
Yeah.
What if you could cut out the banks?
Yeah, cut the middleman out and make that for yourself.
Yeah.
I think that's a great segue because we're going to talk about the alternative credit markets today, which has traditionally attracted larger institutional investors. But these strategies are becoming more and more available to individual investors. And so we recently sat down and had a conversation with Connor McFarland, a CFA and Vice President of Alternative Strategies with PIMCO. And we're going to play that pre-recorded interview for you right now. We're here with Connor McFarland today, CFA, Vice President and Alternative Credit Strategist with PIMCO. Connor, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Thanks, Dave, Rob.
Well, we appreciate you taking some time with us today. We're going to talk about, Rob, something today I think that, you know, most retail investors have never been exposed to, certainly probably are not well educated about, and that is the alternative credit market. Typically, it's been, I think, the domain of institutional investors in the past, but it's nice to see as an industry we're starting to make those, you know, these kinds of strategies that have been typically only available to big institution, pension plans, so on and so forth, available to retail investors. But I think it's incumbent upon us as an industry, you and I, to make sure that people understand what that is. So that's today's show. It's going to be exciting. Connor, you're here to help us do that. Let's maybe just start right off the bat. What are we talking about when we talk about alternative credit strategies?
Yeah, sure. So in the simplest definition, it's essentially lending directly to borrowers without the middleman, which is typically the banks. Now, historically, this is an asset class that did not exist prior to the financial crisis. You essentially went from a market where there were $0 invested here 15 years ago to today, which is now about a $1.7 trillion asset class. Now, the reason this market really exists is because banks are not the best holders of this risk. It makes more sense for private credit managers to hold this risk because they're invested in vehicle structures that align with the liquidity of the underlying asset. So if you zoomed back 50 years ago and you were a company that wanted to take out debt or financing, you would go to a bank, the bank would provide you that loan, and the bank would just hold that on their balance sheet to maturity. Fast forward to about 30 years ago, when regulations started to come, the banks still gave the loan out, but then they would take that loan and they would chop it up into little pieces or syndicate it out into the hands of about 50 to 100 different investors, whether that's mutual funds or ETFs or insurance companies. Now, fast forward to the financial crisis, and due to the regulatory pressure that we were talking about, these banks are now getting cut out entirely. Now, from an investor standpoint, this is great because instead of having this middleman occupying the space between borrowers and lenders, you as an investor immediately benefit from the additional fees that the bank otherwise would have been charging. And so from an investor standpoint, we love private credit because typically you're able to command a higher return. And generally, because these are less liquid assets, from an investor experience standpoint, it is often accompanied by less volatility as well.
Connor, I think we've seen, you know, obviously the growth in this over time on the institutional side. And for retail investors, you know, what kind of growth have we seen and what kind of products are we seeing on the growth side?
Yeah, sure. So I'd say from an institutional standpoint, this has been an exploding asset class. Generally, institutions on average have 20, 30, 40, 50% of their books invested in alternative credit, generally because you have that return premium. And if you are able to forego your liquidity, it makes a lot of sense to move assets out of public fixed income and into private fixed income. Now, I think typically retail investors, individual investors on the ground will tend to follow the trends of institutions. And so today, retail investors have about 3% of their investments on average within the alternative space. Now, PIMCO's estimates is that 3% is likely going to be north of 10% in just a handful of years.
So just listening to you, Connor, and you talk about cutting the middleman out. Now, when I hear that, you're not necessarily, so if you're lending directly to a business, it's not that the business's credit risk is any different than what the bank would have been exposed to, right? But you are getting those additional fees. So from a risk and return perspective, just high level, from an investor perspective. Are we adding risk by being in the as a direct lender to them? And are we being rewarded for that if we are?
Yeah, so it depends. I think in a lot of cases, you're not necessarily adding risk when moving into the private markets. I think in some cases you are. Now, philosophically, it's important to remember that when you invest in public assets versus private assets, oftentimes you're buying the exact same type of risk. And so philosophically speaking, if you had the option of buying a public credit asset and a private credit asset, it's the same asset. It's just that one is illiquid, one is liquid, and they're priced at the exact same way, same exact return. Any day of the week, you want to buy the public asset. There's no point in locking up your money if you don't have to, if you could just replicate that on the public side. So typically what you see is a return premium associated with the liquid bonds relative to the illiquid bonds, rather relative to the liquid bonds, to compensate you for that liquidity premium. Now, historically, that premium is typically about 3 to 3.5%, specifically within corporate direct lending, so lending to companies. We've actually seen that spread, so to speak, compress to about 1 to 1.5%. I think a lot of this is because you've had so much money chasing what has been not as many deals. There hasn't been as much M&A activity. And so we'd say within the corporate direct lending space, we don't see as much value there. But it's important to remember corporate direct lending is only one slice of the entire pie of private credit. This other bucket that we find a lot of value in is within the asset-based space. And so this is really everything that we touch as individuals. You likely woke up in a house that has a mortgage on it. That mortgage is likely held by a private credit manager. You drove your car that potentially has a lease on it. You're in an office building that also likely has a mortgage. You're going to, you know, Hawaii on a plane that has a lease, or even in your pockets, you have a couple credit cards. Or for me, I have an app on my phone that's Spotify, where if I play it, typically a private credit manager will get a royalty stream from that payment. And so the entire ecosystem of private credit is much broader than just the corporate direct lending space. And I'd say we've seen better returns on a relative basis compared to direct lending. And we think that's going to be the case on a go-forward basis.
So as an investor learning about this for the first time, hearing about this, sort of, what questions should they be asking themselves? What role does it play in a portfolio, you know, from a construction, a general perspective?
Sure. Well, I think one of the questions that should be asked is from the highest level, from a top down, what should your asset class allocation look like? Should you be invested in the standard 60-40 portfolio? And I think for many investors, that should be yes, especially for those investors who maybe need to access their liquidity, access their capital very quickly. The reality, though, is that the vast majority of investors do not need to be buying and selling their portfolio on a daily basis. And so for those investors that have the ability to relinquish some of their liquidity in order to generate higher returns, or in order to access different deals you otherwise would not be able to access in a 60-40 portfolio, we think investing in private credit makes a ton of sense. Now, in terms of the actual where you source that risk, or where you put it in your portfolio, it can come in one of two ways. One, you use it as an extension of your bond portfolio. And so you take some of your bonds and you invest it in less liquid bonds. Other investors see equity valuations as frothy, price to earnings ratios near all-time highs. And so there's some investors that want to de-risk, but they don't want to sit in cash. I think private credit is a great replacement for that, as you generate, in many cases, high single-digit and sometimes low double-digit returns on an after-fee basis.
Okay. Listen, we're going to have to take a quick break right now. But when we come back, I want to start the conversation just by exploring a little bit about what liquidity means, because I'm not sure that's a term that every normal retail investor will understand. So we'll come back with that. But before we do, my friend, we've got to, you know, the investment strategy and all these different kinds of pieces to the puzzle only form a piece of the retirement puzzle, right? Because it's not just about the investment portfolio, but it's about attaching the purpose of the money, the lifestyle, healthcare, all of those elements. And that's what we're going to be talking about at our upcoming seminar.
You got it, Dave. Our next one is in Calgary on Tuesday, October 29th, 7 p.m. in person at the Hamptons Golf and Country Club. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com or connect with us on Facebook to register.
And stick around after the break. We'll be talking to Connor about what, you know, what place does the private credit strategy play in your overall retirement plan. You're on More Than Money in QR Calgary.